Well, thank you, ladies, for that beautiful song. And now the time has come for our message for the evening. And I know I very much over the years I have watched my brother and his growth in the gospel and in his ministry, and now he is the pastor of this local, and I know that he takes that responsibility very seriously, and he's taken the time to prepare himself. And I'd ask you to do the same. Take a moment, if you've not done so already, to kind of put aside those cares and concerns of life. I know there's so many things going on that clutter our minds. They're hard to keep them out sometimes. They kind of keep creeping in. But they'll be waiting for us when we go out the doors. And so I'd ask that you try to put those things aside and lift him up in prayer and lift ourselves, that we might indeed this evening be richly fed. I give to you our brother and our pastor, our Gary Jacobson.
Thank you, Brother Glenn. Good evening to each and every one of you this night. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All those that are live streaming, welcome as well. And anybody lose their sunglasses? I have a testimony I wanted to start off with tonight. I'm really thankful for the opportunities that the Lord provides. All of us are given opportunities. We've heard that preached over the pulpit many a times. I'm thankful for the ability that the Lord gives us to be able to endeavor to do his work, to go to the places that normally we wouldn't travel to, with an exception of this trip that my family and I took to Sacramento. It was a very nice trip to be able to go and to fellowship and to spend time with family and loved ones of the gospel. But I wanted to start off with the testimony that was pretty much from the beginning. It was really interesting. We were gearing up, getting ready to go. It's a long drive. It's about, I think it was 14 hours to get up there. And, you know, we were all packed up, ready to go the night before, get to bed, get up early. We're going to plan on being out the door at 5:30 in the morning and hit the road before all the traffic. And make some good time, that way we can drive most of the day through the daylight. And sure enough, as we were ready to go get in the driveway, we said our prayer, getting ready to back out of the driveway. Everybody was in the cars, buckled up, and it was still pretty much dark out. I hit the mirror on my car to close the garage door, and the garage door is coming down, and it gets about this high off the ground, and all the power goes out on the whole block. And I was like, wow, that's really interesting. Boy, that garage door must be really screwed up or something. And the power on Michelle Street was not out. The power on the next block over was not out. It was really odd, but, you know, we could not leave the house. And I was kind of scratching my head on that one. Okay, what are we gonna do? Because the garage door doesn't have power now. So Alicia got on the phone and she called up APS, or looked on APS's website, and it said that they wouldn't be able to restore the power on our block until about 9:45. And I'm thinking, oh, great. And, you know, our daughter at the same time, she has goldfish that Dee Dee was taking care of and gonna take care of. And so the filter and all that, the power is off on that. So she goes in there to check up on her goldfish, and sure enough, one of the goldfish is dead at the top of the tank. I'm like, boy, man, this is really going south quick. We can't even get out of the driveway, and here we are with all these kind of issues. And so, you know, my mother-in-law, Michelle, she had said, well, if you weren't praying for so long, we'd be down the street and none of this would be a problem. I had to say that because it's the truth. And you know, we don't leave any place on a trip without saying a prayer. And I knew the Lord was going to take care of the whole situation. So, you know, I was trying to, we got it all figured out. I had my brother come and I unlatched the garage door, got it down, called my brother later that morning, told him to stop by, fix the garage door so it wasn't detached, so to speak. So when I got home, it would work just fine. But I was trying to put that all together. And I was thinking about that after, you know, throughout this whole trip. It was really, really busy and fun and enjoyable. And I was like, what was the Lord trying to tell me, you know? And I was thinking about that, and it was really neat because, you know, the Lord provides us the power to accomplish his will in all things. No matter what happens, he's going to give us the power and the ability to do it as long as our faith is in him. And I was like, you know, okay, well, that'll cover the power for the neighbor or for my block. So what about the garage door? And, you know, it was interesting enough because when we arrived in Sacramento, we were well received with open arms. And I thought to myself, well, the doors will always be open to those people that we visit in the field, you know, God's people, God's children. You know, they welcomed us with open arms, big hugs, and all that good stuff that comes along with it. And I was like, wow, yeah, the Lord will always keep doors open for us as we travel in the field. And I was thinking about the fish, and I was like, man, when I go on this trip, I'm just not going to eat fish. You know, don't eat the fish. That's all I could think about for the dead fish. And so, you know, I really do put things into the Lord's hands. And my goal was to be able to bring this night the message that, you know, when we're bearing fruit for the Lord, that he blesses us in so many ways. And one of the key things that I kept in mind throughout this whole trip, no matter what happens, the Lord called me to bring the joy of the gospel there and to send me forth. And it was really something that, you know, a lot of things can get to me, you know, especially when you're on the road, all kinds of things can happen. It happened during our last trip with the Yateses and, you know, with the tires, and had issues with that, but the Lord took care of us then even. You know, we've heard testimony of our brother the other night, you know, how the Lord took care of him. And he provides in all those situations to accomplish his will. So we just got to keep our trust in him and keep moving forward and go those places that he calls us to do, to go and to do those things that he calls us to do. And, you know, with visiting the Hickersons and their family, it was a joyous time. You know, we got to really spend a time in their life and to be able to share and catch up and to see those things where the kids are growing and what they're doing. It was really neat. It was fun to be able to go and to enjoy a baseball game of one of their sons and to be able to take part in that and to be invited to that and just to be able to visit and to socialize with them and to lift them up, and they lifted us up. And it's neat how we work upon each other in this endeavor to be able to be the children of God. And I'm really appreciating that, you know, as I get older. And, you know, as we get older, Alicia's grandparents, Adam and Alicia's grandparents, they're getting older too. And there was a lot of opportunities there as well to be useful and to be able to help out in other ways. Grandma Margaret, she's in a wheelchair and they're taking care of her. And Ken is Alicia and Adam's grandpa. And, you know, he has a big backyard and he has a lot of fruit trees and he has a huge garden and he's got all these things going on. And so really being able to even serve while we're out in the field doing things of labor like that also is a blessing that the Lord puts in on our plates and is able to provide for others and their needs as well. You know, we were there 2 years ago, and what a difference it is in how people's lives changed. You know, seeing the physical issues, the aging come about, and to see the struggles that go along with that, it was a little bit shocking to me, but I wanted to be able to provide as much help as I could. And, you know, seeing those things that needed to be done, the Lord led me to do those things and to help out around the yard. The kids helped out. Everybody helped out, and you know, those that we, so to speak, had a work party at their house, and you know, it was a really good time and a good accomplished trip that the Lord has given to us, and I'm thankful for that. And you know, it makes me think about the Lord's servants, where they go in the field, what they do, and all the opportunities that they have to serve, all the people that they have the opportunity to lift up and to be able to share testimonies with and time with and to see things grow and to see things change. What a neat feeling that must be to be able to, you know, have that work in the field and to be a part of that. And so I wanted to start tonight with a reading in John chapter 15. I'm going to read verses 1 through 11 there. And it says here, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that he beareth fruit, he purgeth it. So that word purgeth is to prune and to cleanse. and he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So one of the things that we had to take care of is multiple fruit trees in Alicia's grandpa's backyard. And there was a lot of pruning that needed to be done. And that was the first time I was ever given that type of task with that many trees. You know, I got a lemon tree in my backyard that's about that big, and two orange trees in the front yard that isn't even as tall as the roof. But it's important that you do these things, that you tend to this this harvest, and that you take care of the trees that are there, because if you don't, they're going to grow out of control. They're not going to bear the type of fruit that could be bared. There's going to be all kinds of things growing on them that aren't supposed to be, that won't be contributing to the overall health of the tree. And it says here in verse 3, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit for its fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." And that's the thing, is that are we abiding in Christ? Are we a part of him? Are we taking that time that we need to be able to help him lead us and cleanse us, give us the understanding of what needs to be taken out of our lives, giving us the ability to overcome those things that can lead us down the wrong path and inhibit our growth? And I wanted to bring forth that word, abide, which comes from Strong's 3306. It says, to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy. Continue, dwell, endure, be present, remain, stand, and tarry. And I'm going to continue on, and I want you to notice how many times Christ is pointing out, and he's speaking of that word, abide. And it says in verse 6, "If a man abide not me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my word abides in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept the Father's commandments, and I abide in you. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." And that's where I was expressing just that overall joy of the gospel. Having that and knowing those things that you're doing, bearing fruit for the Lord, and purging those things that won't bear fruit from the Lord out of your lives, what a difference that makes. And the more that we do that, the more that we see that. You know, those things that we can do in the field isn't just for the ministry. You know, I think about the harvest. Where's the harvest at? The harvest is everywhere. You know, there's a work for all of us to do. Each and every one of us, you know, when I used to have a garden, the kids would come and help and work in the garden. And one of the things that we would do is pull the weeds, you know, get rid of those things that don't belong there. And the same is with us in our lives. You know, we all are called to tend to those things that can encroach into our lives, that can strangle us from the direction in which we should be going, that can pull us away from the true gospel, that can pull us away from Christ, that would have that ability to allow us to not abide in him. You know, that's Satan and all his works with all those things that he puts in place to keep us from going in that direction. And so in Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38, this came to mind. "Then he said, saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." And I think about that, you know, all the laborers that were in this yard with us, my kids, my daughter, my wife, my mother-in-law, my nephew, you know, there was plenty of us out there, and there was plenty of work to be done. And, you know, it got to the point where the younger ones didn't want nothing to do with it. And it's okay, you know, they have the efforts that they put into there. But we all know that kids, over time, during hard work and labor like that, that, and dad's driving them, that they're going to want to back out and go have some fun. And that's okay. But the point is that, you know, if we have that opportunity there, if we have the ability to be able to do something for somebody else, seek that, look at that, take advantage of that, let the Lord lead you to do that, step up, focus on those things that the Lord has, and he will bring forth much more fruit into your life. And so one of the opportunities that we had while we were working out back, and you know, I didn't even need to step foot in the house to have anything to eat. Everything was provided out there. So he had the apple trees, which were delicious. He had the big old, this blackberry bush. It was amazing. These blackberries were the biggest blackberries I ever seen in my life. And so, you know, as we're working out there, you know, the Lord was providing there too. You know, I would just eat an apple off the tree, feed the rest of the core to the squirrels. I'd eat the blackberries off the bush. It was fantastic. And I was so happy and at peace because that's my environment. That's what I love to do. And so, you know, those were some of the rewards that I received from that visit there with the finches. And so in doing so, his name is Ken, Grandpa Ken, and he provided for us from the fruits, I guess you would say, of his labor from tending to that bush and the blackberry bush. Yep, blackberry jam. So he provided some of this jelly to my family and to Adam's family, and it is delicious. And you know, it's really neat to know that this is the fruit of his labor, literally, right? And I'm gonna open this. Look at Alicia's really getting upset. Oh, I don't know if I can open this. Oh, you might get lucky. I was gonna share this with some people. Oh, there it went. But, you know, this is something here that can be shared with others, the fruit of his labor, the fruit of our labor. And I wanted somebody to come up here and be a volunteer. Does anybody want to try this black? I know you guys already got some. Darren, you want to try a little bit? Okay, you come up here. I'm going to pop this lid, and I'm going to let you try this. And you tell me what you think of it, okay? So I brought some spoons here as well. So you're going to get a nice clean. Oh,
I just broke it.
So I got a nice clean spoon for you too here.
Shame on you.
Shame on me. That's the sound of good stuff right there, Darren. So I want you to be careful with this. Don't spill it on the carpet because Michelle will kill me. Okay? Mm. So here, take that. Tell me what you think.
What you think?
Thank you, Darren. Was it good?
Yeah.
Very good, right? That's some good stuff. And so, you know, thank you, Darren. I really appreciate that. You're a big help. And your humor never ceases to amaze me. So, there we go. Okay, you can turn it back on. Thank you, Aaron. But, you know, it's kind of the same thing. You know, I wanted to share this with you guys to see that the fruits of their labor and working in the yard, what it produces. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about, you know, if the Lord would let us be able to see the fruits of our labor and what it would turn out to be if we gave our lives to him and that we served him and that we would be able to get kind of like a virtual tour or even get a personal tour of the kingdom of heaven. You know, would that change our lives? You know, it would. It would truly change us and how we go through our lives day by day. You know, if I was guaranteed that if I put in a good hard day's work for a jar of jelly like this, I'd be all over it. And I could eat as much as I wanted out of the garden while I was there. Oh, I'd be there in a heartbeat. Any kind. We had plum, satsuma, apple. Did we get any applesauce? No applesauce this year, but I ate a lot of apples. But you know, if we were given that opportunity to see what the end result was, would that change the way we think in our day-to-day life? Would that be something that we would be more invested in with our time and with our efforts towards the Lord? I can guarantee you all of us would be on board with that one. We would be doing those things that the Lord called us to do. We would be following after him and, doing everything that we could to be able to have that opportunity to spend eternity with him. But the Lord does tell us what the kingdom of God is like. You know, it's in the gospel. We just need to take the time to read it, to understand it, and to follow after that, and to let that be our focus, and to let that be our goal. But what happens, right, in life? What happens? The adversary, he comes in. He's got something just as good as this, right? And is the end result the same? No, it's not. But he's trying to tell you it is. He's trying to tell you it's even better. So one of the neat things that we did too while we were on our way kind of back home is we stopped off at the Jelly Belly factory. So who here likes Jelly Bellies? Who here doesn't like Jelly Bellies, right? And that was really neat. It was a really neat tour. We had a great opportunity to go see how everything was done. And one of the things was that with Jelly Bellies, I'm going to ask, how many here have been Bean Boozled? How many have been not too many have been Bean Boozled. So the tour was really awesome. And there's actually a caution on this that says, contains weird and wild flavors. So at the end of the tour, you get to see how everything's made. They give you free Jelly Bellies, probably the ones they don't want. And the reason because of that is they give you a bag and they look delicious, just like Jelly Bellies, right? Here's the real stuff here. This is the Bean Boozled. And so in the bag that they give you, you know, the white one looks like coconut, right? Well, the bag has coconut in it, but you might get one that tastes like spoiled milk. Okay? And the butter popcorn one's pretty cool. I like eating that one. But there's also rotten egg in here. That's the same exact appearance as the butter popcorn, but it's a rotten egg. There's one here, strawberry banana smoothie. That one's pretty good. But in here, it's dead fish. And I'm going to tell you, they really do taste like what they tell you they taste like. We did this a long time ago with our kids, and it was bad. So I'm going to ask Darren to come back up. No, I'm just kidding. I bet he would. That would be interesting. But no, what I wanted to point out, though, was, you know, at the same time, you know, we have these Jelly Bellies here, and Satan himself is dangling the candy right in front of us, right? The carrot, so to speak. But at the same time, he's got these ones in there, too, the ones that are going to ruin your day. And, you know, those are the things you got to be careful of in life is, you know, what am I seeking after? You know, is for far as providing fruit. Am I providing fruit for the Lord? Or am I like a kid in the candy store just seeking after those things that are delicious to me? But really, they're not really that good. They're not that pleasurable. So we got to be careful of that. And I want to go from there. And I wanted to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'm going to read a couple of different verses here. I'm going to read verses 13. And then I'm also going to read 31 and 33. And I've really grown to appreciate the Apostle Paul and how he expresses, you know, a lot of the scriptures and how he relates to the people, you know. And it's interesting how that relates to us in our lives as well. And so it says in verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above all ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And those things, you know, we live in this world. Every day we deal with sin in our lives. We see sin. We take in sin. We partake with sin. Those are the things that pull us away. Those are the things that are taking us not allowing us to abide with the Lord, to lead us down the wrong path. You know, we think we're getting the good stuff, but in all actuality, we're really going to be choking and gagging on something that's not really even good for us. We don't want no part of it. And so it says in verse 31 through 33, whether therefore ye eat or ye drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. So be intentional in your life. Focus on those things that you are doing that contributes for the Lord. That's a direct contribution to be able to help you sustain yourself. You know, those things that we feast upon, the fruit that we get from God, those things that we can share, how it can give us the strength to be able to move forward, to keep growing, to allow ourselves to be able to be more aware in this day in which we live, where there's more and more struggles every day that we have to deal with. And so, you know, in those things, how we bring forth that fruit for God, and the more that we abound in that which is good, the more that we can glorify God. And in return, the more blessings we can see, that we can partake in, that we can be a part of, that we can share, more and more can we provide for others that can help us to glorify God and to be able to stay focused on that path in which He has given us. So feast on the word of Christ. And I have here, it will give you strength to work out the things that are corrupt. And so we know that in the vine we are the branches, and that Christ is that vine. Everything leads to Him. And so, you know, Christ is seeing what's going on in our lives. We know what's going on in our lives, and we have to be tending to ourselves day by day to get rid of those things that aren't contributing to the overall good of the gospel. And so I got a perfect example of that. You know, I'm going to use an example of yesterday when we were doing yard work at my house. And one of the things, I have a tree out back, and if it's kind of, I don't know if it's related to an oleander, but I always think it does because it grows like a weed. And I was out there, and it's next to my Chinese pistachio. And it was growing, getting big. And I said, you know what, I'm gonna take this sucker way down. And so I just started hacking all these limbs out of it. I was pruning it like there was no tomorrow. And there was only a few leaves left. And I'm gonna embarrass my wife, but it's a pretty nice tree, but it grows back. And I really like the Chinese pistachio, so I don't want this tree to get too big. And so I'm cutting all these limbs off. She comes out, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm in my Zen moment here. Let me be at peace. I want to take this tree down so the other one can grow, because this tree isn't as beautiful as this tree, but this tree needs more room and more space to be able to grow." And so, you know, that's my mentality. That's me processing, you know, what is it that I can do for this tree that is going to help it grow and to establish, to have more light, to where this tree over here, it's a good tree, don't get me wrong, but not in my book. And I want to take this tree out because I just want it to be a nice little tree. And I think the same is in our lives. You know, God has this big plan for us, and there's all these other little things that can interrupt that. And we need to be focused on those things and watching those things and making sure they don't get out of control to be able to take away from what God has truly put in our lives to be a part of. So make sure you focus on what you're doing and be intentional in doing so. And with that, I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and read a couple verses there. It says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, but for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." And I really like the two things in here. God loveth a cheerful giver. You know, do those things with your heart in the right place, and you'll be rewarded for that. And God is able to make grace abound toward you. God is able. God is able to do a lot of things. God is able to do anything. If we have that desire in our lives to have Him there, to abide with Him, He can do a lot of things in our lives. He could take us away from any sin in which we have, but we have to give ourselves over to Him. You know, if it's drug, drugs, if it's alcohol, if it's nicotine, all those things, if it's life's challenges with the environment in which we're working in and struggling with people, God can give us the ability to be able to deal with them appropriately as He calls us to deal with them, to be able to do it with a loving heart and to be able to be that light for Christ. And He's able to change our lives as well. You know, all of our lives change day by day. We're never the same as soon as we're born. If we continue to follow after God and if we continue to do those things that are important for our spiritual well-being, God will change us. He will take away, if we have that desire, those things which are no longer providing fruit for Him, and we are willing to walk away from it. But we have to be willing. We have to be willing for Him to allow us to sacrifice our efforts in hanging on to those things that are important to us, that are taken away from our capability of abiding with Him. And we have to let Him do that. So in Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. It says here, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek ye those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall also appear with Him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." And that word mortify is to subdue and to make dead. So mortify those things, therefore, your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil and covetousness, which is idolatry. Get these things out of your life. You know, that's what the Lord is calling us to do. That's what Paul is telling the Colossians. Get these things out of your life. "For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of Him that created him." So make those changes. You know, all these things Paul's talking about here, make the change. It takes effort on our part. It takes effort for us to look at those things that we have going on in our lives and to put them behind us. But with God, He provides the ability to do so. He gives us the strength in doing that. And so, you know, even to this day, I struggle with things. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about was, you know, I wanted to compare it to is, you know, I really appreciate the grass out here. Stephen did a phenomenal job. It's wonderful. All the tapes down, and I didn't even want to walk on it. It was so nice. And so I started walking around here, and I was walking around it, and this, that was this morning. And so, you know, I started looking closer, and as beautiful as the grass was, you know, I noticed there were some bald spots. But then I started seeing all these little bits and pieces of trash in the yard. And I was like, wow, you know, if you really look at it, there's issues here. And so I started picking up the little candy wrappers and the spoons and the broken cup or the cups. And I'll, you know, in a matter of walking around 1.5 times, I had this huge handful of stuff that needed to be thrown out. And I was thinking about that, and I was like, you know, the pure appearance of this yard isn't actually what it looks to be. You know, there's a lot going on within that yard, but overall, if you're standing from a distance and you look, you know, it looks like everything's great and fine and beautiful. And so the same is with our spiritual lives sometimes too. You know, to others, everything can appear like everything's hunky-dory and wonderful. Everything's great. How you doing? I'm good. You're good. See you later. But truly inside, there could be a lot of things going on. There could be a lot of problems that we're dealing with. And I encourage us to be able to share that with one another. Help us be able to learn of those things and to put those things on the table that we can use to help us grow, to get that stuff out of our lives, to help us be able to walk in a path, to make our lives perfect as God called us to do, and to try and to show and to expound and to admonish all those things that are important for us, to get rid of all these other things that I talked about in Colossians. We can do that through the body of Christ, through the ability to be able to open up and to share, to put down our walls and to allow the Lord to lead our hearts. So, you know, I wanted to give an example of one of my weaknesses is my wife and I, we went out to dinner with my old boss and his wife Friday night. And, you know, I'm publicly admitting this, you know, I never prayed in front of him. And it was just uncanny. And I said, you know, we're sitting there and the food comes to the table. And I said, no, you know, I said, who am I really trying to impress here? Who am I really serving if I don't, you know, humble myself before the Lord? And, you know, I just said, do you guys mind if we bow our heads in prayer over the food? And my boss's wife said, you want to return your food? And I was like, no, I was asking if we could pray over the food. I don't know if I was nervous or whatever, and I mumbled it out. But no, I said, could we say a prayer? And it changed the whole dynamic of the evening. It was really, I had a very enjoyable time. They have a wonderful family, and they have struggles. One of their children have autism, and you know, you could just see it coming out of my friend's wife and the struggles in which they're having. And you know, I told them, I said, the Lord doesn't give us any more that we can bear, and He put that child in your lives because He knew that you would take care of that child in this day in which we live. And you know, I was really thankful of that. We had a great conversation for a few hours after we ate our dinner, and it was really a defining moment, you know. And I look at that, and who do I fear? You know, do I fear what man is going to think of me, or my personality or my characteristics that I have? No, I fear God. And that's what's important to me. I want to do those things, and the Lord gives us courage to be able to do so. The Lord gave me courage to be able to do so. So our relationship will change. The dynamics of it will change from that point on. That is a blessing that I wanted to share with you. That was a weakness of mine that I've been dealing with. And, you know, it just was almost like a burden was taken off of me. And it's a yeah. You can do it. With the Lord, you can accomplish anything, and you can bear that fruit. I wanted to go with that to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You know, and that's, you know, I'm not trying to strike fear in anybody's lives, but there's that opportunity that as a father, the Lord takes care of His children. And there's that opportunity for us to be able to know that there is something greater. There is something better than what this world has to offer. There's nice things in this world that we receive when we do the work for the Lord. There's also things in this world that Satan has to offer as well. I've had a great opportunity, you know, to be able to spend time with loved ones, with family. And at the same time, you know, when we come back, we get into our daily routine. That's what I thought was going to happen, but it didn't. You know, I was telling Patricia earlier this morning that when we got back, I was back to work. I thought that I had a dentist appointment this Tuesday. It turned out that I didn't, but I did go home, and It was a blessing because our pipe backed up for the washer and water went everywhere and it was coming out of the kitchen sink. And so, you know, it was uncanny how the Lord gave me that opportunity to be able to take care of things that needed to be taken care of at that given time. Because, you know, it might be because I'm starting to lose my memory or whatever the case may be, but there was an opportunity there to be able to take care of my family and to be able to prevent extensive damage to the house or whatever the case may would have come from that. But, you know, I was calling Isaac up and telling him what was going on, a brother in the gospel. Well, this is what your problem is, because I knew he had a snake. Come over, get it. Let me know how it goes. You know, he followed up with a phone call. Hey, how did it go? How did it turn out? Turned out great. Everything's cleaned out, good to go. Saved a ton of money. But, you know, those are the things like that, that if, you know, the Lord puts us in a place, any given time, any given moment, think about those things and the characteristics that He wants you to have during those trials. You know, I said to myself, you know, I could really lose it right now, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to take this as an opportunity to be able to learn, to be able to understand, and to be able to have a good attitude to take care of this situation that, you know, typically probably will occur in every one of our lives, give or take, you know. And, you know, it was a mess, but at the same time, things were cleaned up. Things are back to normal, and things are going to be taken care of now that we did that for years to come. And so I'm thankful for that, because the Lord gives us friends and family to give us guidance and direction on how to go about doing things and to be able to take care of things to where we can rely on each other for what we need, whether it's temporal or spiritual. And so again, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, let us hear the whole conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And so my prayers are to you and for this work of the gospel, for this local, for our upcoming reunion, for the opportunities that all of us have together as the children of God to be able to share this gospel in which we have been given. We've all been brought here for a reason and a purpose, and I hope that each and every one of you can have that found in your lives and to be able to share that with others. So God bless, and thank you for your time.